Good morning.
Well, it's a lot. Let's turn to Judges chapter 18. Judges 18. In those days, there was no king of Israel, and in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for themselves to live in, for until that day, an inheritance had not been allotted to them as a possession among the tribes of Israel. So the sons of Dan sent from their family five men out of their whole number, valiant men from Zorah and Eshtol, to spy out the land and search it. And they came to them, go search the land, and they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, the lodge there. And when they were near the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned aside there and said to him, "Who brought you here? And what are you doing in this place? And what do you have here?" And he said to them, "Thus and so has Micah done to me, and he has hired me, and I have become his priest." And they said to him, "Inquire of God, please, that we may know whether our way on which we are going will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. Your way in which you are going has the Lord's approval." Then the five men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people who were in it living in security after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure, for there was no ruler humiliating them for anything in the land, and they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone. And when they came back to the brothers at Zorah and Eshtol, the brothers said to them, "What do you report?" They said, "Arise and let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good, and will you sit still? Do not delay to go to enter to possess the land. When you enter, you shall come to a secure people with a spacious land, for God has given it into your hand, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." Then from the family of the Danites, from Zorah and from Eshtol, 600 men armed with weapons of war set out. And they went up and camped at Kiriath Jearim in Judah. Therefore they call that place Mahana Dan to this day. Behold, it is west of Kiriath Jearim. And they passed from there to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the five men who went out to spy the country of Laish answered and said to their kinsmen, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod and household idols and a graven image and a molten image? Now therefore consider what you should do." They turned aside there and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, to the house of Micah and asked him of his welfare. And the 600 men armed with their weapons of war who were of the sons of Dan stood by the entrance of the gate. Now the five men who went out to spy the land went up and entered there and took the graven image and the ephod and household idols and the molten image while the priest stood by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. And when these went into Micah's house, they took the graven image, the ephod, the household idols, the molten image, and the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" They said to him, "Be silent, put your hand over your mouth, and come with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest to the house of one man, or the priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the household idols, the graven image, and went among the people. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones and the livestock and the valuables in front of them. When they had gone some distance from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house assembled and overtook the sons of Dan. They cried to the sons of Dan, who turned around and said to Micah, "What is the matter with you that you have assembled together?" And he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and have gone away, and what do I have besides? So how can you say to me, 'What is the matter with you?'" And the sons of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest fierce men fall upon you and lose your life with the lives of your household." So the sons of Dan went on their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. Then they took what Micah had made, and the priests who had belonged to him, and came to Laish, to a people quiet and secure, and struck them with the edge of the sword, and they burned the city with fire. And there was no one to deliver them, because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with anyone, and it was the valley which is near Beth Rehob, and they rebuilt the city and lived in it. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born in Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. And the sons of Dan set up for themselves the graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. And so they set up for themselves Micah's graven image, which he had made all the time that the house of God was at Shiloh. Amen. Okay. Let's do a little review from yesterday. All right. One of the aspects here, if you remember, in chapter 17, was Micah's idolatry. They basically set out, found this Levite, put them into service. They broke every kind of command from the Lord, particularly the first one that says, you shall have no idols, no graven images before you. And that's precisely what they set up. The story basically continues in chapter 18, and there's this tribe of the Danites. Now, verse 1 is a little misleading because it seems to say that, oh, these guys didn't get any land. That's not true. They got the land. What happened in verse 1, or the backstory to this, is every tribe, if you remember, when they left Egypt and they came to the promised land, they crossed the Jordan, they were all allotted a piece of land. Now, the land that they were allotted was not fully possessed. In other words, God expected them to continue to fight and continue to take more of the land. And that was a sign of his their dependence on the Lord. It was a sign that they needed to continue to walk in covenant and whatnot. And they would continue to get this land. During this time, the Danites, most likely the commentators say that they were very lazy. They basically didn't do what they were supposed to do. And so the land actually that they had began to shrink as the Philistines begin to gain more of that territory. They were to inhabit the land and continue to stretch the land out, and instead the land was shrinking before them. So they thought, let's go. Let's go out and get some more land, basically. So then they sent out these guys. They end up going to the hill country of Ephraim, and they meet Micah here, or better pronounced Micah. And so they meet Micah at this place, and when they were there, they recognized the voice of the Levite. Now, most likely, he probably had an accent, so they either recognized the accent by which he came, or remember, he was a sojourner, and he would travel quite a bit to many different places. And so he may have been actually with them for a period of time. So one of two different theories. But in any case, they recognize this guy and basically say, what are you doing here? And he relays a story that he is their personal priest, which again is not permitted in the law for them to have this for the Levites. And so they come and they meet this place, this place of Laish, which continually is relayed to us. It is a very peaceful, peace-loving, very nice people. In other words, they're not doing anyone any harm, and they're not being harmed as well. If you guys ever like the Lord of the Rings, this is like the Shire. These guys are like the hobbits. They're peace-loving people in a place, and they're not bothering anyone. No one's bothering them until the Danites come in. And again, go to verse 6 or verse 5. And they said to him, inquire of God, please, that we may know whether our way on which we're going will be prosperous. Now, this was the function of the priest. But remember, the priests, the Levites, the house of God, all this thing, inquiry was happening in Shiloh, which we see in the last verse. And instead, they set up their own places of worship, which are forbidden for them to do. And so we see this constant, again and again, of people wanting to do the right thing, but either one, totally ignorant of what they're supposed to do and thus violating the commandments of God, or just setting themselves up to be their own gods, as we talked about yesterday quite at length. And so they go to this priest, and the priests, they had on their vestibule, on their ephod, they had this thing called the Urim and Thummim. And what this simply was kind of like stones, but it was like yes or no. And when they would go inquire of the Lord would speak to them through their vestments, and it would just be basically, yes, I'm with you, no, don't do this. But that's done at Shiloh. That's done in the house of the Lord. And so they're basically seeking a quick way to get this done. And they inquire of this Levite who is not commanded by the Lord to do this kind of work. And the priest says, go in peace. Your way which you're going has the Lord's approval. I want to tell you that that is a false prophecy. That is because, number one, their way was not peaceful. We'll read later on. But they also, in that way, that they actually destroyed a peaceful town. Humble people in that regard. And we see that their way actually was very, very violent and not peaceful by any means. But this is what's going to happen. Sometimes, and I'll try to draw some applications, sometimes these type of people, you know, leaders that they have their own agenda, sometimes they get it spot on. But most times, it comes back to haunt you in that regard. In other words, there becomes, you know, you'll know them by their fruit. And it basically turns out that way. And when you have a false premise to begin with, the result is going to be false teaching. And it's going to creep in. And eventually, it's going to be shown out. So they go on their way. And now, these guys, you can tell by the language, they're armed. And they take a simple word that says, "Go in peace, your way in which you're going has the Lord's approval." Then the next thing you know, they go back to their brothers and report. Look what it says in verse 10. "And when you enter, you shall come to a secure people with a spacious land, for God has given it into your hand, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." Now, that really wasn't the word that the Levite gave them. You know, they now added quite a bit to this word. And it's a secure, meaning peaceful people. And that's not what the guy says. But you can see how when you have an agenda, you know, and we see this, right? No matter, if you get a prophetic word, and it could be accurate. I want to suggest this is not accurate, but let's say you have an accurate prophetic word. When you operate with an agenda, you're going to twist that word to your liking, no matter what it sounds like. That's just human nature in that regard. You're going to bend it, twist it, break it, all kinds of things because you have an agenda. That's really what it comes down to. And so they go, they set up camp, and then the Danites, now you could tell that these guys, and so we're going to infer a lot in the text. Now that you could tell that the Danites actually also, like Micah, was not very aware of the commandments of the Lord. And so what they do, they go and they say, "Hey, this guy's got an ephod. This guy's got his own priest. This guy's got these graven images. Let's take them." And so that's precisely what they do. They steal. Now, I mean, how about that for doing the Lord's work? Let's steal this. I mean, it's so crazy when you think about it. They steal this, and the whole town, the shrine that the house of gods that Micah sets up apparently is not just for Micah's house. It's apparently for the whole town. So they take the stuff and they're basically running out, and they're quite a far distance from Micah's house. But the townspeople see what's going on and they capture them basically. But remember, they have 600 men at the city gate. That are ready, warriors that are ready to pounce them. And they basically tell them, "Hey, you know, you got to be careful. Don't basically let us go or you're going to die." But let's go. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back to that. Let's go back to the Levite. The Levite sees them taking the stuff and he says, "What are you doing?" And look what the Danites say. The Danites say, "Hey, in fact, hey, why don't you come with us? We're gonna give you more money, and you know what's it like? You're a priest over one family, be a priest over a whole city, for a whole and we're much stronger than they are. And so why don't you come over?" It's kind of like, I don't know if you have any baseball fans, but these guys are like the Yankees, right? They go and they, you know, they pour tons of money on these free agents, and I mean it's kind of crazy in this way, but. Then you see exactly what's in the heart of this Levite, and this is a really quite a stark warning, you know, to leaders and whatnot. Listen, if you have a leader that could be easily manipulated and controlled by money, number one, that's what happens to this Levite, but also through prominence. Through, you know, I can, you can come, and you know, the church you're at is great, but you can be a pastor of a mega church. You know, you could have thousands. Wouldn't you rather? And you know, this the love of prominence, which is not necessarily something that we talk about in churches a lot. You know, and unfortunately, we should be talking more about the trappings of pride and these type of things more than we should. But that love of prominence is destroyed so many leaders, right? You know, wanting to be the leader. And you know, I remember years ago when we, after 5 years of our existence as a church, and we were now going to move into a house church system. Because, you know, before I was doing Bible studies on Wednesday nights, so we're going to move into a house church as the church was growing, and we felt like the word of the Lord was to do that. And so, you know, my wife and I, we prayed actually for about a year. And about who should we you know, ask to pray to the Lord to be the first round of house church leaders. And then, you know, and then we trained for like a year, about 10 months. And then we launched house churches after a season of fasting. And it was very interesting, because there were people that the Lord spoke to us about. And honestly, I was like, that person? Really? Like, one, that person just, like, they've been at church for like 6 months. And so, you know, for me, they haven't really been received like the full DNA of what we're trying to do. But God says, no, I want you, that couple, they're going to be the leaders. And then there's other leaders that I felt like, oh, these guys should surely be in. And God said, no, I don't want them. And sure enough, we go in and we start this whole thing. And it's very interesting. I think some people, you know, it's a very small church at that time. I think we're about 80 people. Some people among that group that were not asked to become leaders got very, very upset. Very, very upset. And the way that when people in those situations, it's a religious spirit, right? When they get upset about stuff, they don't say, P-Sam, how come I'm not a leader? They will never say stuff like that, even though that's what they mean. P-Sam, I should have been chosen to be this leader. Instead, they'll say things like, I don't know about PSAM's leadership. I don't know about that person. That person that's a leader. That person's got some character issues, and you know, they'll say things very underhanded, but you know it's really inside their heart. And when someone wants prominence, it becomes a very ugly thing in the church. That's why Jesus constantly in his teachings, he tells them, you want to be great, learn to be the servant of all. If you really want to have a huge ministry, you know, go humble yourselves and be the servant and do this. You know, Jesus, if you look through his teachings with the disciples, a lot of things that he really rebukes these guys is in that idea of the love of prominence. He goes to James and John go to him and says, hey, you know, my mom is asking, now notice they blame the mom. My mom's asking, you know, am I going to sit on your right and left? I mean, can you tell us what we're supposed to do? You know, other guys are constantly bombarding him with their own agendas and whatnot, and he's constantly shutting these guys down. You got to be very careful. This Levite, man, he had this love of prominence. Most likely, this is my take on this. Most likely, he was a very, very bad priest. Bad meaning like incompetent. And amongst the Levites, among his people, and so he left and he wandered around. And then he ends up getting this plum job, which actually to his demise. But there's this prominence inside of him. And it really breaks him down. That's why, you know, brothers and sisters, we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray and make sure that they don't come under the guidance or the leadership of one person, you know, or one. I mean, particularly here, you need to pray for me. You know, you need to make sure that as a pastor, as a leader, that I'm not being swayed, by some rich donor or, I mean, simple things like, you have no idea how prominent that is in the modern church these days. I shouldn't preach such a harsh message because I don't want our rich donors to get mad and then leave the church and whatnot. Those type of things actually happen quite a bit. And we need to make sure that our leaders are preaching the truth always, regardless. And taking to mind, I love God. God says, I am no respecter of persons. And I believe that every leader that uses the pulpit should be in the same way. It should be no respecter of persons. Just speak truth. I mean, speak truth in love. But make sure that we're not speaking to manipulate, to try to get more offerings or try to get a place of prominence or whatnot. In seminary these days, and it's so from what I'm reading and understanding, even from my day, it is so difficult for churches to hire new pastors because these guys, they don't want to go to, well, no more, they don't want a church plant. They don't want to go to, small churches. They all want the big jobs. They all want that place of prominence. They want the established church, the 1,000-member, 2,000-member church. But they're not totally not qualified for those things. But it's this sense of entitlement that is even coming out of the seminarians in that regard. And that's what happens. And so, okay, before I keep going on other tangents, let's go back to the text. So here's this guy and this priest, and look at verse 20. The priest's heart was glad. It's like, this is what I wanted all along. I wanted prominence. I wanted something bigger. Yeah, I'm too big for this little house of Micah. Even though this guy, Micah, is so good to him in the natural. But I want this place. And he goes, oh, he was so glad. And so he betrays. I mean, how would you want that as a priest that's basically serving the Lord on your behalf? Someone that's going to basically stab you in the back. Isn't that a great characteristic, to have in this regard, knowing that this person doesn't have your back? And then continues on. And so, these guys go with all, this is another part, I know I'm running out of time, and they take these idols and they feel like, this is the Lord, right? This is fantastic of how, they're going to do this to them. And they continue on in this way. And I mean, it's such a tragic thing. So next thing you know, they go into the city and totally destroy it. It's kind of like, they brought these things into the city, like the ark, and they felt like, oh yeah, God's going to give us victory in it and whatnot, and they destroy an innocent people. I mean, a completely innocent city, and they destroy it to the ground. They raise up, they set up for themselves a graven image, and they add to the priesthood. They get Jonathan, the priest of the tribe of the Danites. That is forbidden by Jewish law. Only Levites are to be the priests before the Lord. And this is the tragic statement in verse 31. They set up for themselves Micah's graven image, which he had made all the time that the house of God was at Shiloh. In other words, the Levites, everything was happening in Shiloh, and instead they created their own. And you can see basically the fullness or the folly of Micah's sin in that regard. Well, Micah and Delilah's sin in that regard. So let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. In our serving the Lord, are we humble? I mean, are we really humble? Or is that love of prominence inside of us? Lord, I want to be on the board. Lord, I want to be, well, I guess not too many people aspire to be house church leaders these days. But Lord, I want to be someone of importance at church. It is so different than the way that God sees leadership. It's a servant leadership. It's not about having your own platform. It's not about having your own agenda, but serving God in His house with humility. And if the Lord moves you into that place, that position of authority, it's serving with all humility still. This morning, let's pray. Pray for yourself, obviously. But let's pray for our leaders. Pray for me. Pray for our pastors. That there would be no love of prominence. That we would not be swayed by one influential person or donor or whatever it may be. That is so disgusting to the Lord. Let's pray that in this house and SP, all the SPs, that our leaders that are leading, that there is no the attitude, there is no respecter of persons, that truth will always be preached regardless of the consequences or the possible fallout. You know, most of the gospel these days is so antagonistic to the culture around us. Let's pray.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Thank you.
Let's pray. Let's pray that the Lord would guard our hearts, guard the hearts of our leaders. Let's pray that we would not operate in our serving with an agenda. There be no love of prominence in us, no pride. That truly we would serve the Lord with all humility. And we would expect that from our leaders as well, myself included, that I would serve with all humility. Just remind ourselves, as Jesus called the little children to himself, he says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you need to be like one of these little ones. Let's pray for that kind of atmosphere in our church in that regard. Let's go to our community prayers and let's lift up our community that are battling through cancer, battling through treatments. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling through non-cancer related illnesses. So let's pray for God's healing word. pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and God's open doors. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray this morning for Singapore. Let's pray for our church there and SPSG. Let's pray for P-Sam Kim and his family. The Lord will just continue to move. Just a quick update. The landlord rejected their offer, and so they're praying through and trying to figure out what to do next. And so let's just continue to pray. I mean, they're still at the hotel, so there's not any sense of urgency per se. But obviously, you know, the sooner the better. And so just continue to lift up their whole situation in terms of their meeting space and whatnot. And ask God to give really wisdom to P-Sam Kim and the board in that regard. Let's also pray for SP Indonesia. Pray for Indonesia. Pray for Pastor Selamat, especially as he's wrapping up his doctorate, his D-Men. Pray for the mission trip coming up to Kupang. And I pray also for more partnership with SP, and that God would raise up more volunteers to help and minister amongst the ministry at SPIN. Let's just pray for Singapore and Indonesia. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries, Agape Homeless Ministry, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray that the Lord would continue to use our church and use our volunteers and our team to really make an impact throughout Hong Kong. Let's really pray for added strength and more volunteers, of course, in these ministries. Let's continue to pray for Alpha. Let's pray for wisdom for the next season, whenever that would be. Pray for the graduates and the new believers. Quite a few of them gave their life to the Lord. I pray that they would be discipled now, that they would get baptized. We have one coming up actually next week. Pray that they would sign up for GIC, attend house church, and get involved in the community. You know, allegiance, it plays a huge part after someone makes a commitment. And so let's pray that there will be good follow-up and follow-through with these new believers. Let's pray for our activities tonight, SPU, and intercessory prayer team, and also EG. In fact, if you can pray, we're going on our retreat tonight. And so 12 of us, this Friday class, actually, is first time ever, both classes, not one single person dropped out. And so we'll have this weekend 12, and next weekend another 12. They'll be out in Mawan. If you could lift up myself and the whole candidates, that they would really encounter God and experience the Lord in this retreat. Let's pray for their time starting tonight. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for McCain and McRobinson. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to be with our leaders and our hosts, and that would really draw close to the Lord and to one another. And just a last bit of prayer. If I can ask you to pray, tomorrow a bunch of our leaders are going to Reading, actually, to attend some more training for the marriage course. So if you could pray for Lisa, Rachel, Max and Belinda, and Lauren and Tyler. So all six of them will be making their way. Lauren and Tyler will go after the EG retreat, but the rest of them are leaving tomorrow afternoon. And so just pray for a real good time for them to really learn and be equipped even more so to train to lead our marrieds into wholeness and freedom and relationship. Also, I mean, this is a little bit more of a selfish thing, but if you could pray for me, I've got all four kids 2 weekends in a row this whole week, and I actually am at EG Retreat both weekends. And so we're just going to need a lot of grace during this time. So if you can pray for me and pray for Nanning as well as we try to take care of our kids during this time. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you, God. We love you. We are so grateful, Lord, for watching over us, God, throughout this whole week. And I know that rain is coming and storm is coming, God. I pray that you'd protect our people here in Hong Kong, Father. And we also thank you for the word, God, and just a real strong reminder once again, God, that all of us, Lord, we need to be humble servants, God. As soon as money, Lord, is our goal, or prominence is our goal, that it leads to destruction, God. It leads to dishonoring you and dishonoring your house. And so, Lord, help us, God. Make sure that there's a Holy Spirit puts a check in our minds and our hearts, God, when we start operating in our flesh instead of in humility before you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Just watch over us, Lord, today. Help us to give you glory, God. Watch over us this weekend. There's so many things going on at church. We just pray for your covering, your blessing, your anointing, God, your favor, Lord, and just people to draw near to you throughout this time. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys Sunday. Yes.